Welcome to Kick-Ass Radio, hosted by Jo Sainsbury, founder of Kick-Ass Women. Join Jo over the next hour as she shares stories and conversations that are both inspiring and empowering. Having spent over 30 years in the corporate sector, Jo Sainsbury kicked off her heels and became a coal train driver working in the rail and mining industry. It has been her goal ever since to empower and support women who are considering a career change into an industry role, making the transition as smooth as possible. Jo is a walking, talking success story of how taking the plunge into industry can open up a world of opportunity. And you can do it too. If you're a woman working in industry or considering a career change, this is the radio station for you. Let's get into this episode of Kick-Ass Radio.
Hey there, Glowgetters. Welcome to the Kick-Ass Radio Show. Am I excited for today's show? You bet your kick-ass I am. This week has been a cracker here in Australia. It's been National Skills Week all week. Now, National Skills Week is dedicated to raising the profile and status of vocational learning, dispelling outdated myths, and showcasing the attractive career opportunities for all Australians. Now, this year's theme is Rethink Your Ideas, and it's in regards if you've ever wondered about apprenticeships, traineeships, and vocational education. Now, this was the perfect week to get all your questions answered. So I advise you to check out the National Skills Week website to catch up on all the week's online events that they've held and the resources that they've got on offer. There's heaps of little informational videos, lots of resources to download. And I was fortunate to get to sit in on a couple of webinars throughout the week hosted by National Skills Australia. And may I say, some of the great insights and advice shared was phenomenal. And I'll be posting some info and sharing some content over the coming weeks. So stay tuned. Now, here today on Kick-Ass Radio, we are going to get a little or a big hit of tech talk from our special guest, Michelle Bowditch of Door20A. Now, Michelle is the founder of Door20A, and it's a tech consulting agency supporting female entrepreneurs and executive assistants to accelerate their careers. Now, through strategic coaching, Michelle helps professionals amplify their workplace presence, master influence, and roadmap their ambitions into existence. And Door20A's mission is to inspire professionals to find their unique voice, disrupt the status quo, and achieve peak performance by automating workflow with the right tech tools. And we'll really talk about that. With the belief that every woman deserves business success, Michelle has quickly become a formidable leader in the mentoring space. And her philosophy is be you, do you, and amaze you. And it underpins every facet of Door20A and is instrumental to enabling women to lead from within, because there's only one incredible you in this world. And how often do we say that? Michelle has a regular segment on Talking Tech, which showcases newly trending apps, and recently appeared on Ticker TV, Short Black with Sandra Sully, and Sky News. She is also a multi-award finalist and winner. So you are listening to the Kick-Ass Radio Show, Kickstart, where we talk about all things women working in non-traditional roles in varied male-dominated industries, and I tell you how it is. I'm your host, Jo Sainsbury, the Glowgetter. I hope we can keep you in good company over the coming hour. And a huge shout-out to all the women working out on track and on site today. Have a great day. Stay safe. Now, let's get into it. A big hello, Michelle. Welcome to Kick-Ass Radio. How are we today?
I'm very well. Thanks for having me, Jo, from sunny, actually freezing cold Sydney.
Well, we're a balmy 27 degrees up here in central Queensland, so we'll try and pass some love down to you. Thank you for coming on the radio show and for sharing some of your valuable time. And I know you're super busy, but we're also going to enjoy your company and learn a lot from you. So to kick things off, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background and how you arrived knocking on Door20A?
Look, I think with anything in life, we envisage where we're going to be, and I certainly didn't think I'd be here. My actual career prior to being a business owner was in the executive assistant space. So I supported CEOs and CFOs on a global scale, and something incredible happened in 2018. I was supporting a CEO at the time, and we got to go off to Silicon Valley. Now, I'm a mother Yeah, I'm a mother in my late 40s now. And at that time, technology, you know, it was my kids telling me about all the apps and the tools and, you know, things I needed to have. And I was like pushing them away. So technology was kind of a foreign thing, but went to Silicon Valley and supported in an incubation, which was a foreign word for me as well. We say the word incubation. But during the 6 months of the incubation, I met Zoom and Slack, which everyone now uses because we're now doing this hybrid work. And I had to learn about how to create efficiencies in my role, supporting the CEO level, to be able to work smarter, not harder. But then also my CEO was asking me to step up to the plate and be more strategic and have a voice. And the only way I could do that was to create efficiencies in the way that I did things, from automating expenses to creating calendar invites to, you know, taking your to-do list from a paper-based into electronic-based and all those kind of things. So, you know, fast forward now to 2019, my job was no longer required and I went, what am I going to do? And, you know, and my boss said to me at the time, Mish, just go out there, you'll be fine, start your own business. I had no idea. So I just started talking to my friends, everything about what I'd learned in the tech space and being an EA for 15 years plus, and then started talking on stage. And then people go, oh, can you mentor me? Can you show me how to do it? So it wasn't a wake up one day, write a business plan and, you know, do all those kind of things. It was kind of just go do it. And, you know, now we're 2021, we're in our second year of lockdown. You know, last year was very different to where I am today. And because everyone was banging on my door last year, how do I use Zoom? I can't get people in the room. You know, my Microsoft Teams won't work and all these crazy things. So, you know, it was a real, I stepped last year into an education role, educating women in business. You know, how do I set my Zoom up? You know, how do I create a waiting room? You know, how do I put a passcode on? I don't know how many people rang me last year, Joe, and said, oh my gosh, these people just appeared in my meeting. How did they appear in my meeting?
It was such a whole new world, isn't it? And like even I only used Zoom last year, a couple of years at the beginning of the year. So it was a whole new world to me and I'm technologically challenged at the best of and I'm still learning. But yes, so to a lot of women out there that, you know, we do our routine, we live by a routine, we do our habitual things. So to have something new introduced, it's like a panic station.
And I think technology, it's still a fearful world. We're still scared by it. And I think, you know, what I do is I just make it fun for people. Mm-hmm. I want them to be able to have the right tech tools in their toolkit, as I say, for them to work efficiently. So, you know, really it's nutting down, you know, what do you need in your business? How can we implement it? And finding a solution for you and not giving you a solution because it's the latest phase or the Kardashians are using or whatever. What do you need in your business to work efficiently at? And then give them the confidence, because I find once you give them the confidence and you speak in their language, you're not speaking a techie codey language, then that it just works so much quicker and easier. So, you know, and every business is different. You know, you could be in North Queensland like yourself and you might want to convert to an online to-do list. And how do we do that for someone that's got lots of paper in front of them? Like, it's finding something for you. So it's making it fun. And I feel now that I am more advanced than my children because I've got teenage children and they don't like that sometimes because I give them a new app. But it's also, you know, like,
it's a great sharing.
A great example is at the moment, you know. Yeah, and in like at the moment, everyone's got their whole ideas on it. But you know, now we're going to get to a stage where, when we are vaccinated, how do we prove that we're vaccinated? So the Medicare app at the moment, I'm showing everyone how to download their digital vaccination certificate and put it in the Apple Wallet, and it's something simple. Yeah, it's really, so the government, and it's a national thing, everyone thinks it's New South Wales, but like, you know, we will at some point have to be able to show that we are vaccinated. And how do we do it? It's in your Medicare app.
All of these cards are becoming digital, aren't they? Like anything that you really are subscribed to or that you've completed and that. I know I got my private health insurance digital card through only last week also. So that's the world we live in now. That's exactly right. So we need
it's having everything at your fingertips. And, you know, another great example, and I know for the people in Queensland, you guys don't have it, but in New South Wales, we've now got a digital license. So if we log into the Service New South Wales app, we don't have to carry around our hard license anymore. We can just open the app and there's our license. So if I get pulled over tomorrow for a random breath test or whatever, I just can pull it out and it's on my phone.
So lucky there.
But it's making you feel comfortable.
Yeah. And that's exactly right. And like I know it's hard to get used to new things because I was an EA for 16 years in my career. And your story resonates with me very deeply. I'm very heartfelt about it. And your accomplishments are so inspiring. And if only technology was so grand back then, but like I thought the electronic typewriter was absolute wow when it came in because I started off my career, EA career, as the old stenographer, Pittman shorthand, and doing dictation. And when the mighty electronic typewriter came in, instead of just, you know, punching the keys, it was like, and it automatically returned. And we could use carbon paper so I could create a copy and I could backspace and erase my errors. But like I'm still old school. I love my lists. I love writing my notes. I still use my old diary.
Wow.
And it's chock-a-block full of all my printed emails with appointments and whatnot on. But that's me. That's my old school. But I'm learning. I've got lots of apps. I've probably got about 50 apps on my phone that I don't use, but we're getting there.
Well, you're sitting here today on Zoom, so you've created the efficiency in your business because you needed to learn to use Zoom, so that's okay.
So, yes, it's definitely a learning curve, but it, as you said, it's all about efficiency and productivity, and they are great tools to master and to have in your business and in your personal life. So in regards to working in that space of being an assistant, executive assistant, how did you champion your way through a male-dominated industry, if it was so to speak? And did you have any experience, any challenges in those roles?
Look, it is still a man's world out there at the CEO level. So the CEO I was supporting at the time was my first female CEO ever. So I'd only started working with her 12 months prior to us going through the incubation, but my whole life I had a male boss and it was really, really challenging. And I think also, you know, being an EA to a CEO or a CFO, supporting a male, you weren't allowed to have a voice. You were there, like you said, you're sitting there on the typewriter, you're taking the notes or minutes, you are there, you're operating in a transactional component. So when we wanted to be strategic EAs, all of a sudden we have a voice and it's like, you know, people look at us and go, she's just an EA. Why is she telling us what to do or showing us what to do? So it was it's a really hard conversation, and it still is hard conversations for a lot of EAs in the spaces. Like if they're in the construction industry, if they're in FMCG, government, not so much anymore. Like to have a voice as an executive assistant, it is still really hard because the men, and you know, I'm not putting men down because there are some incredible male CEOs, but we are seeing in our EA space that we're not meant to have a voice. And, you know, my role through mentoring and coaching is to give these women, you know, voices so they can have a seat at the boardroom table so they're not sitting there just being the minute taker. And how do we do that? And that a lot of it is the confidence piece, but it's also the understanding to the CEO or the CFO that these women, and they are predominantly women in the executive system space, we do see some men, but they are actually real humans who are super, super talented, and we've got to show them how to showcase their superpowers. So how do we showcase their superpowers? Like what are your underlying skills? Like, you know, and how do we show it in a way that the men or the executives are seeing that you're adding value to the organisation and you can do it in a strategic approach. So it's a real challenge, Joe, still. And I will say to you, doing the incubation in Silicon Valley back in 2018, there was a lot of young men, I will say young boys, a lot of the cloud solution architects, the data scientists, all these groovy, funky titles were all men. And it's a really tough for a woman to break through in that industry because predominantly she has not been seen as someone that is in that role. So it's yet again, I mean, you know, we've all got our story to share. So how do we share our story, but also adding value to someone or the organisation at the same time when we're in a role that we're seen as she's just the person that's going to make the cup of coffee. She's just the person that's going to take the minutes or notes. Like it's really having that confidence and that voice to step up and lead from within. And it continues every day to be a challenge. You know, I believe the EA space has certainly made a huge leap of faith and a jump because we've gone from having the typewriters to having how many words we need to type per minute to now you need to have the tech skills as well to come along with it. So it's a journey, and I think every industry is different as to where they're placed. If you're an EA in the tech space, you are seen and you do have a seat at the boardroom table. If you're someone in construction or health, you will still be that EA making those cups of coffee. So there's a bit of a shift still to go from here to there, but it's tough, Joe. I'm not going to admit that, I'm often having conversations with females to saying I'm just seen as the EA who makes the cups of coffee, and that drives me nuts.
and it has, like, that role has definitely progressed over the years, and I know from my space when I worked there, as I work my way through when I was finishing in that role, the EAs are more or less running the companies. You know, they're the CEO's right-hand person, and they're the ones that are actually doing all, you know, creating all the communication. They're setting up all the meetings and the reports. They're doing the reports. They're researching for the reports. And I end up becoming involved with project management, which led to me actually leaving that corporate sector and pursuing project management and, you know, getting a diploma in project management and doing that in the construction industry because I worked with a group department in that sphere, and I was doing all those reporting tasks. I was putting all the information together. So it led, you know, it leads to bigger and better things, but you definitely I was having to learn software programs that I wasn't familiar with in regards to productivity, machine preventative maintenance and whatnot. So there is definitely the need for the ladies to get involved in all the techie space in that role, even if they are just an executive, or they're not just an executive assistant, as I said, they're more or less running the companies, but there's lots of opportunity. And I think another thing is, they all need to establish a support system. You know, it's an instinct as women, we take care of everyone else and put our needs on pause. Mm-hmm. But it's important for our own well-being to also look out for ourselves and our personal development if we want to be of service to others. And support systems can make a difference to women. Like, women typically assume a lot of family responsibilities, putting us in a position where we don't have the time to focus on our personal and professional growth. So we need to develop those support systems that can help us as we pursue our career goals. And it may be a supportive spouse, parents, in-laws, kids, friends, or anyone willing to help you out. And if members of your support system can take care of things that you typically do while you dedicate time to your personal development, like getting tech savvy in the tools that, you know, you need for your job, you'll have time freed up to put the work into it and become successful or more successful in that role that you're performing. So it's, it's a
110%, Joan, you are right. Like, it's creating those efficiencies in the role you're doing. So if you can automate part of the administrative process what I call the transactional functions in your role, it then frees you up the time to become more strategic. So like you were saying, you know, you took on projects and all those kind of things. But if you're not, taking that step forward and taking ownership and responsibility to learn, develop and create those efficiencies, then you're still going to be stagnant and you're still going to be seen as just the EA. And I also find from a female perspective, I mean, we look at what's happening today, you know, with the whole COVID and the lockdown and all of that, you know, women, you know, we've taken on a different role. We're now the career woman, we're now the teacher at home, and we're still also the domestic engineer. We've still got to do the cooking and washing. So it's a massive strain on women at the moment with this lockdown, because we are juggling so many balls and we're still expected to do it at that high level. So I find if we can just create some little efficiencies in our day, you know, through a technology platform or an automation process, and it will free up our time to do all the other stuff, it just makes a huge difference. So, you are correct. We need a support system. I call them our cheerleaders. We've got to have our cheerleaders around us. Mm. And a cheerleaders doesn't mean to be 100 people. It just needs to be, you know, 3 to 5 people that are there cheering you on through the good, the bad, and the ugly, as I call it. But they're also celebrating your small wins versus your big wins, because we need it as women. We need a, you know, a win could be that, you know, you might book an appointment with someone that you've been trying to get for 6 months. That's a small win, and we need to celebrate it. Mm. And our cheerleaders will be there doing it with us.
And that's right. And exactly as you said, celebrating small wins is such a boost to the self-confidence, and it's a fulfillment, you know. It's fulfillment that, hey, I won that, tick that off the list. But I was just going to ask you, actually, the next question was, talk us through your experience with the pandemic and the lockdown, and how you've pivoted and adapted your current role and business to, like, the new hybrid world, to virtual and remote working. So how does that fit into your life and your routine now?
Well, one of the things that I wanted to set myself up for was trying to have a work-life balance, because, as you can imagine, an EA supporting CEO level, you do work 60 to 80 hours a week. So I'm a single mum. I have 3 teenagers, a 13-year-old girl who is in year 8 at school, and 2 boys, 16 and 17. Yeah, I know, and they're both tradies. So first and second year apprentice tradies.
Good luck with that.
So I worked really, really hard, you know, a lot of long hours. So I did miss out on some of their upbringing because I was always working. So when I went to work for myself, one of my remits in setting up the business was that I wanted to work 3 days a week. So I work Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursdays only. Monday is my strategic planning day, aka I fill the food up, a fridge up with food. I do the meal prep for the week because I've got everyone's meals, because the tradies are taking big hot lunches every day. You know, I'll pay the bills, do all of that. And then Friday is my mental health day. So I can do anything on that Friday, lunch with the girls, stay in my PJs and watch Netflix all day, whatever I want to do. And I just, because I've never been able to do that. So for me, that was a really important thing for me. So, you know, take back to February 2020, I had the whole year planned out from a roadmap perspective of, you know, traveling around Australia, hosting workshops and running conferences, etc. And then within a space of a couple of weeks, we went to lockdown straight away in March 2020. And everything got cancelled, all my workshops and events. But what happened is that the people that I had been talking to, about tech with for the 12 months prior, who were slamming the doors in my face going, I don't need tech in my role. It's all right. I don't need it. All of a sudden, the phone was going off the hook. Mish, I need your help with this. Mish, what is Microsoft Teams? What is this platform for called Slack? You know, how do I use Zoom? Blah, blah, blah. So I went from, you know, thinking I was going to be on the road all of 2020 to then going into this, you know, working from home. I had to employ staff to help me with the training because it was just out of control. And it wasn't just the here demand. In Australia. Yeah. The demand was so high. Yeah. And I was doing tech audits, which is a 30-minute, you know, solutions-focused 30 minutes of intenseness. What do we need to solve? And a lot of it for the first 3 to 6 months was about Zoom and Microsoft Teams. How do I, you know, as I said, how do I put a passcode on a meeting? You know, how do I have a waiting room? How do I virtually do this? How do I do a poll within a presentation? Like all these crazy things that we used to do face-to-face and now online learning. So, you know, we in Sydney were fortunate that we got let out of lockdown, if that's what we're going to call it, at the end of July last year. So I got back on the road again and traveling around Australia. But what was identified last year was there's so much out there for technology. There's so many apps and tools. And you said you've got 50 on your phone. I then decided to write a book, and my first ebook ever. I failed at English at school. So that was my disclaimer. So for me to write a book was really, really hard. So I wanted to write to make it easier for people. Oh, I need a virtual whiteboard. What options are available? I need to be able to, download and print a document instead of, you know, having someone sign it. How do I get digital signatures? So I wrote an ebook in 2020, which is incredible. It's online if anyone wants to see it. We update it regularly when new apps and tools come out. So once you purchase it, it's only $19.95. Once you purchase it, it's all the updates come to you all the time. Yay!
I downloaded it. It's an excellent, it's just an excellent resource.
Yes, yeah. And even if you don't use it, at some point someone will say to you, oh, how do I scan a document at home without going to the scanner in the office? And it's like, oh, Misha's written this tech. So I wrote an ebook. And then I took on a huge advocacy role last year for the admin office professional space, because during lockdown in 2020, the admin role was the first to be cut from the bottom line of most businesses. So they didn't need the receptionist anymore because we were in lockdown. They didn't need an office manager anymore because we weren't in the office. And I didn't agree with it. So I took on an advocacy role. And part of my advocacy role is I then wrote a research paper. Yeah. So I then it got published this year. And the research paper is, you know, talking, there's three components to it, talking about the technology in our roles, because a lot of people, just not EAs, felt technology was going to take our role. So that whole AI, that machine learning piece, if I bring a robot into the workplace, I'm going to lose my job. When in fact, a robot or that AI technology piece, it creates the efficiencies. So I was trying to remove the fear that you're not going to lose your job. What it's going to do is it's going to free up your time to then work on all this other stuff or showcase, as I say, your superpower. So like you were saying before, you know, you took on projects. So, you know, do the stuff that you really want to do and that meaty stuff. So wrote the research paper, and now fast forward to 2021, I got on the road. I had 8 weeks on the road this year going around Australia, talking about the research paper. I went back to doing workshops. And then all of a sudden we're nearly September next week. We are day 63 of lockdown here in Sydney. We've gone back to doing everything virtual. I am now doing my next research paper and really educating, mentoring. I've got a very good structured mentoring program now for women in business. I know it sounds bad, but I'm just focused on women in that mentoring program because I want every woman to succeed. Doesn't matter what you do. I think we deserve to succeed because, you know, we've got to have babies and then we've got to run a house and then we've got to, you know, cook and clean. It's a hard job sometimes being. We juggle. We're like the jugglers. So if you have a side hustle that you want to go into, create a full-blown business, I'm going to be your biggest cheerleader and advocate. So if I can support you in that way, and I want to be there for the big wins and the small wins. So really, you know, working with women in business just brings so much joy to my day because we've all got something to offer. We've all got a story to share and we need to share that story.
And so, I absolutely 100% support everything you've just said and reiterate it because women do need to be better at supporting women and we all need to be cheerleading for each other. It's a better world when we are and promoting each other's success and supporting each other's failures because we all learn from failure. That's how success is achieved. But I think for so many, it's just been in survival mode. I think it was really about what are they going to do? What are the decisions to make right now to save their businesses so they can reopen successfully when the crisis is over? It's in these times, it's really important to just dig deep, have grit and determination. And I don't say that in jest because I'm very fortunate to have had minimal to no impact from the pandemic. So I'm really feeling guilty to a certain extent for all those who have been affected in the vast extremities. And I truly believe it's really critical right now to pivot in this environment, make the most of something new. And if anything, it has also provided a chance to look at what is not working and to focus on strengths in yourself and your business if you have a business. You know, it's been an opportunity to take a step back and really rethink how they are doing in their operations. So grasp these these resources on hand, like yourself, the mentoring, the support, the resources. And your ebook is an absolute wonderful resource, especially for me. And like, I'll be using it. It'll be like the new Bible to me. But no,
say, Joe, as well, like, you know, as women, I think we need to be a little bit kinder to ourselves, especially at this time. I mean, I know you're not impacted, but there is so many of us around Australia that have been impacted. Mm. And, you know, the whole homeschooling and the stress that it's putting on the households at the moment is just, it's really heartbreaking. And so if you're a woman in business and you've had to stall your business, you know, close your business or just, you know, do nothing with it because you're just trying to juggle the homeschool, just be kind to yourself. Yeah. And we need to, because the mental health thing we know is right. alive and kicking. Yeah. It's one in three people now. You know, we're looking at Lifeline. You know, some days they're getting over 5,000 calls a day. And, you know, the percentage of women in business is quite high as well. But I think the thing is that we have to be patient and kind. And when things do become a little bit better, school does go back, your business is going to still be there, and you can just turn that switch back on, get your cheerleaders back in their tutus and their pom-poms and cheering you on again, and just get back to where you need to be. But we just need to kind of at the moment, you know, what did Melbourne, they celebrated 600 days in lockdown. So, you know, I'm only day 63. They've had 600 days, like, wowzers. It's just different. But we do, women, we do juggle so much at all the time. So just
that's exactly right. And it is, that's right. Take it easy on yourself. There is light at the end of the tunnel, and we just got to keep looking at that light, and we will come out the other side, and we will come out bigger and better. It's, you know, it's the opportunity to shine on the other side when it does happen. But yes, perseverance and work on yourself whilst we're in this time is definitely, as you said, self-care is very important, and the mental health aspect, definitely reach out to someone, whether it's just for a short conversation, you know, pick up the telephone, actually have a telephone call, don't go text messaging, you know, physically talk to someone on the phone. That's just a stress relief straight away when you're actually having that connection of the voice to voice over the phone. So let's be better at self-care, definitely. Okay, well, we're going to take a little break and hear from one of our show sponsors, and we'll be back soon.
Hey, Glowgetters, have you heard about Kick-Ass Women? Founded by Jo Sainsbury, Kick-Ass Women is dedicated to empowering and supporting women who are considering a career change into an industry role. Visit our brand new website at www.kickasswomen.com.au or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook and LinkedIn today to keep up to date with all things Kick-Ass Women and the incredible opportunities and content we have for you. See you there, Glowgetters.
Okay, thanks, listeners, for joining back in. Our special guest today is Michelle Bowditch of Door 20A. So, Michelle, who has been your biggest supporter or mentor and role model throughout your career and your business to date?
So I was lucky enough about 12 years ago to get a business coach. So the employer I was working for, they offered business coaching. And back in those days, I don't know about you, but business coach was a foreign word.
Yeah, definitely.
And this incredible individual, he has navigated with me through my different careers and still with me today. We don't meet as much as what we used to do. But it's just to have someone that's known you for so long, it just when you go to make decisions, I would encourage people out there, if they've never had a mentor or a coach, to really look at that and why you're getting them on board. It's incredible. I also have this incredible woman, which most of the, I'm sure the community does know, which is Elka Whalen. She was Elka Graham, the ex-Olympic swimmer.
Oh, okay.
We met through church and have become friends. And she is just this wealth of knowledge. She is one of my biggest cheerleaders. And I can throw anything at her and she will be honest and open and have a great conversation. So a great example is earlier this year, I had an interview on Ticker TV and I rang her after it and I said to her, That was shit. Excuse my French. I said, I talked too quickly. I got so excited. And she said to me, okay, let's do, you need to probably do some media training. You probably need to speak slower. You need to breathe. So then the next time when I went to do my first Sky News interview, and I was fortunate, I was in the studios in Brisbane when I did my first one. Just all the little tips and tricks that she had taught me along the way was incredible. So
They stay in the front of your mind, don't they? When you have that advice and feedback given to you, when you're put into those situations, that's the first thing that I find. It comes to the front of your mind, like take a deep breath, you know, act as if you're just talking to a group of friends. So, great advice to have.
And you know, a little thing like, you know, I wear my ring. So she said, you know, when you start to get the flutters, you know, twist your ring and all these. And I'm not media savvy. I'm the first to admit that. And, you know, do I want to sit on the news desk? No, I don't. But having the opportunity to share, you know, my information and my expertise to a wider community excites me as well. I think also I've got a dear friend close to me. She is... how old, we call her Nanny Nell, and she is 62. She's fitter, stronger than I'll ever be. She still runs every day, but she has a husband who is in a wheelchair. So her day compared to my day or your day is very, very different. Mm-hmm. But she inspires me. So when I am whinging or complaining about, you know, the silliest things that that I think are big and I, you know, might blow them out of proportion and I'll yell and scream and shout, she reminds me every day of, you know, to peel back the layers and what is important, you know. And then I go and, you know, her husband is the most incredible man and we just sit down and have a simple cup of tea or coffee and talk about nothing. She reminds me that that thing that was making such an impact in my life or I was stressing about, I've got to stop stressing because it isn't important. She always says to me, are you saving a life? No, you're not. So just, you know, take a chill pill. but it is a good reminder. And, you know, I say a lot, you know, you do need your cheerleaders. I call them your cheerleaders. People call them the A-team or your tribe. Mm. You need them around you because they're the ones that ground you when you're making decisions. They're the ones that, you know, if you're making a leap of faith from going from a side hustle to a full business, you know, they're the ones that are going to say no, yes, maybe, or they'll navigate you through this path. And also when you are on a career path, you may, we all tend to do it. We may go on, you know, go left or right of the road that we were meant to be on. And these cheerleaders or the coach or the mentor will bring us back onto the right road and remind us of why we're doing what we're doing. Because that's the important thing is, you know, some days we get up and we go, oh, I don't want to go to work. And these people remind us what we have to offer, what we need to give to other people and what value we're bringing to the business. So they navigate you back onto that right path and they cheer you on. I mean, you know, I'm sure you get up some days, Joe, and you don't want to go to work and it's like, do I really want to do this? But you're reminded as to why you're doing what you're doing because you truly love it and you're making an impact. And it doesn't matter whether you're digging a hole or you're out there speaking on stage. Every bit counts and makes a difference to someone else. So we need to remind ourselves that.
And that's exactly right. Contribution, like even superheroes need help at times and we need to ask for help. So why not ask for help when it's necessary? And particularly when we're talking about these transitions into technology, technology constantly changes. So making it imperative to keep retooling yourself in lots of aspects, you know, is important, and mentorship can bridge that gap between your skill set and the things you need to learn, exactly what you provide. So my advice is also reach out to potential mentors at every chance. And the executive that I was EA for 16 years, we had an 8-year stint the first year. He moved town and got a transfer with the company. And then like about 10 years later, I'd actually relocated to the town that he was in, and he found out and he rang me up and said, do you want a job? And I'm like, oh, okay, yep. And I did another 8 years service with him. So we become, he become very much my mentor and guide and sounding board. He taught me a lot in regards to work ethic, gave me a lot of feedback, encouraged me to learn lots of things. So, yeah, forever grateful. We have a great relationship, friendship still to this day, and same as you, don't get to see each other that often anymore. He's an aging man now, but, absolutely value him to the hilt and what he taught me and what he provided me in mentorship and a role model over the years is, yeah, invaluable.
And to work for someone that long, Joe, like that, that means that you had the click, the trust was there.
We did, yeah.
Yeah, and that's really important in an EA role. Like you've got to be, you've got to have the fit, what I call the fit, and with the fit comes the trust. And that's where the longevity that you guys had together, the 2 8-year stints, like that's so incredible. That's really,
it was great. And it's very important to build a network of mentors and mentors and peers. And, you know, you can have your mentors at work and outside of that workforce and your peers as well that you can tap into when you need help figuring things out. And I'm a big supporter, you know, consider joining women's network groups. There's lots of women's groups out there that are just absolutely magnificent cheerleaders and they will cheer you all the way home. There's always lots of room to learn. And there's also going to be rejections, but you have those cheerleaders in your backyard supporting you and, you know, you need to keep reaching out to them.
Yeah, you do. And I think it's, you know, life is about enjoying it to the fullest. And, you know, we're learning in this lockdown that we can't plan, you know, that Christmas holiday or do whatever. So enjoy now. Don't worry about what happened tomorrow. Don't worry about what you think's going to happen next week. Live for today and make the most of it.
Exactly right. Yeah. So, and I think we've touched on this a little bit before, just to have a bit more of a conversation on it. Like I call it your way bridge. So what is your way bridge or work-life balance mean to you and how do you work to achieve that goal?
Oh, look, you know, some weeks are great and it goes according to plan, but other weeks, you know, as I mentioned earlier, navigating two tradies in the house can be interesting. And I'll give you a great example at the moment because of lockdown. Both the boys can actually get their P's license so they can drive. But Service New South Wales is closed down because of COVID, so you can't go for your licence test. So I am navigating the drop-off and pick-up. And as you know, with tradies, they don't start at 9 o'clock, you know, it's early in the morning. So I would say at the moment my work-life balance is very different. I feel the support I need to give my children to be there for them just to navigate their days. So, you know, my days aren't long with a working day because I'm up at 4 a.m. and pretty much, you know, one tradie's going this way, then I come home and pick up the other tradie and then I'm dropping the other tradie at work. So, you know, I've probably pretty much done, you know, an hour to 2 hours in the car in the morning. So I come home and my big thing for me is I walk. So I'm a walker and that is great for my mental health. I'm getting what I call liquid happiness or exercise. And also I do it from a learning capacity. So I'm not a reader, I'm a podcaster. Yeah. So on Sunday night, I rack up my list of podcasts for the week. So most weeks I have between 10 and 15 podcasts. So that's my learning time because we've still got to learn. We're never too old to learn.
That's exactly right. Yep.
And one of the initiatives that I took on personally for myself during lockdown is I'm walking 20,000 steps a day and I'm star jumping all the time. So for the listeners that are on Instagram, come and check me out. You'll see me star jumping all
the time. I've seen you star jumping, yes.
And the thing is, it's a little bit of that humor that we need to bring to our life because we can't control what's going on. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, the cases could be 10 tomorrow, there could be 1,000. Like, you know, that's out of our control, but I can control what's going in. So my work-life balance at the moment is a little bit skew-iff because I'm focusing on, you know, the kids at home, my daughter's homeschooling, all those kind of things, but then also focusing on me with my mental health. So walking, whether we're in COVID or not, is a big thing. I mean, my mentoring program also, if we're not in lockdown, is part of my walk and talk. We do walk and talk. So we walk 5Ks or 10Ks, part of the mentoring program. So walking's a big thing for me. And if I can get 4 to 5 hours in of work on a Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, that's a tick on the board for me. I'm happy with it at the moment. So I think we have to, as mothers and as women running businesses, businesses or working in a career is that we have to kind of adjust and tweak a few things at the moment, and don't say, well, I always work 9 to 5. That always sentence or has got to kind of change that conversation to adjust to what's happening now and right in this moment. And I think that's where that kindness piece that I said before, we have to be kinder to ourselves. Yes. So if the child runs in and goes, the internet broke and I can't get my science assignment, you know, loaded up, you know, we have to drop what we're doing and focus on them, because that's a big thing for them at the moment. And we have to be more present. And I think that's one thing I learned from going from the corporate space to working for myself. You know, I said I wanted to get that work-life balance. My number one priority is being present for these children, because I've got two boys, as I said. I want to make them better men. And how do I turn them into beautiful men that, you know, when they go and meet a girl and their parents, the girl comes to me and says, do you know that you've got the most delightful son? I want to have, yeah. So, but it's spending time and having those conversations. And, you know, you mentioned earlier that your kids are older, but, like, you know, it could be in the car in the morning and having a conversation with them. You know, we try and have dinner at the dinner table 3 nights a week, because having it 5 nights a week just doesn't happen. So it's having those conversations, and we're having adult conversations now. We're not having the 3-year-old or the 5-year-old, you know, they're 16 and 17, but if you saw them, Joe, they're like big boys, you know.
I think they all, they get to a certain age and then they just tower, and we just lose that concept of them being so small. And as I said to you, I've just become a grandmother, and we haven't had a baby in the family since our baby was a baby. So grasping the concept of how small they are again, you know, where they started from, it's pretty daunting, but beautiful in the same time. But yes, you need to be present in their life and make the time for them. Don't dismiss them. They're my
cheerleaders as well,
yeah,
Joe.
Like, that's exactly right. Yep. As much as you support them, they will support you back. Definitely.
Yeah. And, like, I remember one day I was on Sky News here in Sydney, and my son comes home from work, the electrician, and I was talking about apps, and I referenced to his industry, because there's an app that you can use as a tradie to do your timesheets and your quoting. Yep. And he came home and he goes, Mum, were you on the news today? He goes, oh, the boss was talking about it too. He's gone like this. He goes, oh, well done, Mum. Good on you. You can have a glass of wine now. So he was my cheerleader. Like, that's a cheerleader.
Yeah, definitely great. So, yeah.
And it warms my heart that, you know, that as a single mum that I'm able to juggle, but then also be there for them. Because, as I said, I wasn't present in the younger years because we were working so hard. And, you know, we were trying to put, you know, pay the bills, pay the mortgage, and we're doing this whole juggle and put food on the table. Whereas now I'm working for myself. I've set myself up that I can be present. And it's a really important thing for me, Jo, to be present for my kids.
And that's exactly what it's all about. Like, work-life balance is about achieving a compromise between the need to work and, of course, to earn an income, and the need to have a life outside of work. So balance is not better time management, but better boundary management. And balance means making choices and enjoying those choices. So,
I think maturity comes, age and maturity comes with that as well, when we can make those better choices. So
that's all right. And I always say, don't aim for work-life balance, aim for work-life fulfillment. So, that's what we need to work on. So a last question for you. What are your top three values that you live into and that drive your business? I think we might have touched on this, but I know you've got a specific response to this.
Yeah, so I've got my 3 C's in my business, which is community, connection, and collaboration. So we need to create a community around us. We need to connect with others so we can continue to learn. And we need to collaborate so we can, go into spaces or into businesses or into opportunities that we've never been there before. And I honestly believe that, you know, it is community over competition. And we touched on that earlier, that we need to cheer each other on. So when you've got a community around you and you're connecting with like-minded people that are going to cheer you on, you know, that collaboration piece comes out so, so strong. So, you know, and collaborating, it doesn't mean it's not about money or it's not about you getting more than the other. It's about that connection collaboration and community. So my three C's in my business, and I encourage everyone, you know, create a community around you that you can connect and collaborate with, because that is going to be the easiest process for you, especially as a business owner. And it's not about competition. And I think, you know, before as women in business, we did often go like this and butt heads and, you know, oh, she's doing this, so I've got to do this. And it's not about that. Stay in your lane, be true to who you are, and create a great community around you so you can connect and collaborate.
And that's great advice. So, yeah, definitely support that. And do you have anything to offer to our listeners that you'd like to share, or any special offers? Like we mentioned your ebook, definitely.
We've got the ebook. It's online on the website. If there's any women out there, and no matter your age, you know, if you're someone that's starting off in, you know, the corporate workspace, or, you know, whether you're a 20-year-old up to a 60-year-old, you know, if there's something in your life, if you've got a road blockage, or you're trying to find an answer to a problem that you just can't get past, you know, connect with me. Let's have a virtual coffee. It's 15 minutes free. And then maybe if the mentoring program's for you, but I encourage you just, you know, connect on Instagram or LinkedIn, because the thing is, the power of connection is so important in a space that we are, you know, sitting in front of a screen for so long. So it's having a conversation with someone, and, you know, I will be back on the road again. So when I do hit your state, let's connect for a cup of coffee or a glass of wine. And as I always say to everyone, there's only one incredible you in this world. So remember that, and be you, do you, amaze you.
Well, thank you very much, Michelle. It's been a great conversation, and always another inspiring and invaluable conversation that we've shared today. We wish you all the best with Door 20A, and we'll put your links and contact information up in our show notes and on our website for anyone wanting to reach out to Michelle. So I'd like to say thank you again. Take care and stay safe. And we look forward to catching up with you a little later on in the year. And definitely when we can all travel again, we'll be making those phone calls to say, hey, let's catch up. So we'll hear another quick word from one of our show sponsors, and we'll be back to get our take five and wrap it up. Talk to you soon.
Hey, Glow Getters. Did you know that Jo Sainsbury is a published author for her book, High Heels to High Viz, and has been named an Amazon number one bestseller? Telling the story about Jo's transition from the corporate sector into industry, High Heels to High Viz acts as a guide for women who are considering a non-traditional role and career. High Heels to High Viz is available for purchase online at all leading bookstores, including Amazon, Dimex, Waterstones and eBay.
Okay, so that's been a great conversation today with Michelle of Door 20A. So now we're going to get our take five tips. So with Passion Powering Us, here are just five tips in relation to Michelle's Tech Toolkit ebook that she's got on offer that you can download or purchase and download. And it's to help us manage a plethora of daily activities in both our work and personal lives, and its complements, of course, of Door 20A. So I've just picked a few topics out of it. So we've got five. So the first one's about document management. It's about your filing system. Number two is time management. We all need to manage our time more efficiently and productively. Three, of course, is communication, one of Michelle's main values. Four is network. We can't promote that more than enough. Networking is so vital and important to your own self-confidence and your success in either your career transitioning on career journey and your businesses. And number five is the most important, self-care. And Michelle talked about a lot about that today. So remember to be kind to yourself and take that self-care. And lastly, a safety affirmation from Michelle. It's a favoured quote from Michelle, and it's very pertinent to each and every woman out there. When thinking small, so too is what we allow ourselves to achieve. When thinking is big, we create opportunity to accept abundance. Okay, that's it, guys. I do hope you enjoyed our show and our guests. A very big special thank you to Michelle Bowditch of Door 20A for sharing so much invaluable information with us. And I hope you all found the information inspiring and that it gives you something to ponder and perhaps action over the weekend. The road to success is not void of challenges and pitfalls. Patience is key to realizing your full potential. You will have doubts and get discouraged at times, and particularly in these times. Realize that there will be a learning curve for every new thing or concept that you decide to learn. If you put in the time and work, you will eventually become very proficient at any new skill. Mistakes are a learning opportunity because you understand what you need to look at more carefully or dedicate more time to understanding and how to avoid making those same mistakes again. The fact that you are still persevering is commendable. Technology can help leverage limited capacity and capital in smarter, more effective ways. And in some cases, using technology provides us greater efficiency and versatility, making it a natural progression for processes you may already have in place in your personal life and business. In others, you may need to make some adjustments to reap the benefits of tech-friendly alternatives. I know I do. The good news is that the benefits often outweigh the short-lived challenges of the transitional process once new systems are in place, and Michelle has highlighted just some of those areas to explore when you're ready to ramp up your use of technology in your life and business. And Michelle is just one of the many amazing female entrepreneurs seeking opportunities to lead during the pandemic to inspire, create, innovate, and empower others. As always, I really appreciate you giving me your time to listen to this radio show. You can find more information on the episode and Michelle and Door 28 in the show notes or on my social media pages. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast to get the latest episodes sent directly to you. Well, that's all for today's show. Thanks for your company and for listening to Kick-Ass Radio. It's not goodbye, but see you later. Stay safe and well. Keep in touch, Poscoms. Go on, get your glow on. Become a glow-getter.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Kick-Ass Radio, where we kick goals and deliver empowering conversations for women. Want to hear more from Kick-Ass Women and Joe Sainsbury? Visit the Kick-Ass Women website or follow Kick-Ass Women on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram. See you on the next episode of Kick-Ass Radio.